Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Tom Rennie, as we often are in the studio, to look back over the Premier League weekend. We also unexpectedly had a revised Champions League draw. We thought it'd all be done and dusted by the time we got on air, but no, 2 o'clock live. And yeah, we watched it all unfold. So we'll bring you that as well. We also spoke to James Allen, motorsport commentator. Of course, that was the big story of the weekend, all the fallout from the F1, and he put us right on a few things and told us how he thinks things may shake down. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? We had a bit of
that's
a chat
yeah.
when we could fit in all the sport. Here it all is. Well, 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And we weren't expecting to bring you a Champions League draw. We thought it'd all be done and dusted, but it was a complete mess. Although, for those teams that got what you might call favourable draws, it means you're on tenterhooks once again.
Yeah, of
course. Good afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Good afternoon. It's pathetic, isn't it? Honestly, that's so hopeless. They're so overblown. Just do the draw. You know, they make it so complicated.
So you, who did you remind us, Andy? Who did you get?
We got Lille,
which you were chuffed with,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, they were the lowest ranked team in the top group, so of course we were. But and now we're going to get PSG or Bayern. It's obvious, isn't it?
There was still time after the draw for to managers to talk about it. And one of them was Jurgen Klopp on the Liverpool website talking about Red Bull Salzburg, saying that's a tough place to go. We won't look forward to that. We said, well, just as well you're not playing there now.
to be honest,
the way City and Liverpool are going, they shouldn't be frightening
absolutely.
Anybody.
But I've decided I'm never watching Formula One again. I thought that was what sort of a sport is that?
Oh, really? That's the route. That's the way you're going, is it?
Pathetic, I thought. One of the least satisfying things I've ever seen. 12-second lead going into the safety car, and just, you know, when he came out of it, he was like, they were lying next to each other. How could that be right? If in a normal situation, he would have had to pass those five cars, and he never would have done that in one lap and caught Lewis Hamilton. They changed the rules to suit
well, look,
it.
We're going to have a chat with a man who knows about these things, James Allen, Formula One expert, a little bit later on, because it's interesting to know, because I don't know. Andy, you're no Formula One expert, nor am I, but how much...
I had it explained to me, and then I was even more annoyed by somebody who does know.
Somebody who does know his stuff, said what went on, but... how much leeway does within the laws can the race director interpret?
Michael Massey is more like Michael McIntyre.
Yeah,
what a joke!
He would have done a job.
He would have done.
So we're going to find out.
The wheel.
James Allen tells us what chance Mercedes have of turning things around. You would imagine quite remote. They're quite happy about it in Holland, understandably, which is where we're going to cross and speak to a Formula One correspondent out there who knows the Verstappen family very well. So
he's
I'm sure
he'll see it the same way we do.
he'll have a different view, I would imagine. Couple of things to get you involved with today. We've seen a very sketchy draw take place by UEFA. It's all gone horribly wrong. They're going to have to do it again. But whether it's a sporting draw, whether it was you drawing a raffle, whether it was whatever it was, do let us know when draws go bad. Look forward to it on the Channel 5 for 2 hours coming up soon with a number of talking heads. So when draws go wrong, let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And you do feel the responsibility of it when you do it. We've only ever done one, Andy, on the show. Barry Hearn was mad enough to let us loose on
the World Snooker Championships.
The early rounds of the World Snooker Championships. We did the draw on the show. And you do really feel that responsibility of getting horribly wrong, holding the nine or the six the wrong way up, or coming up with the wrong name, but this was a complete failure.
Ronnie O'Sullivan ended up playing Bayern Munich. He did go quite wrong.
Well, he could have got Lille in the first round, so he was delighted. The other thing I want to get people going on is Jeff Bezos' sketchy algorithm. Because if you buy stuff, obviously, from Amazon, they like to recommend things that you also might like. So they've looked at your buying pattern, and they think, well, this is available. Let's tell him or her about that. And they might, we might make a few quid, not like they need it or anything. So you can imagine my surprise the other day when my phone just flashed and it said, we thought you might be interested in this. And it's a £217 telescope. I mean, I've shown no interest, particularly.
You have a better view of the producer.
I've got nothing against the stars, but I don't go out of my way to look through them, and I'm probably not going to commit. Which I know, it's not Hubble.
I mean, Professor Brian Cox.
I'm not. The only thing I can think is I had the sky at night on once on BBC Four, and they've heard the music down Alexa.
Exactly.
And they thought, oh, he's watching the sky
at
night.
I definitely.
He's going to get him. He's after a telescope for £217. So any sketchy algorithms that have recommended things to you, I didn't buy it. I mean, I didn't feel duty bound. No. It's lovely. It's the ESS LMB telescope 770 for astronomy adult with smartphone adapter. I think what the smartphone adapter is for. So you can get ET
to phone
home. I went
with the 780 myself.
Did you go with the 780?
I preferred it.
Well, it's stainless steel tripod. It's got the red dot finder. It's got the scope Barlow lens. It's Gary's boy.
Yeah.
And it's got a moon filter. So it's good. It's fully loaded, sir. It's a lovely telescope, but just I'm not interested. So anyway, let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. If you're just joining us and you're celebrating your draw in the Champions League draw, don't, because they're doing it again. That's right. They messed it up and they're doing it again. So a completely new draw. And there were some very interesting games, weren't there? PSG, Manchester United.
It's irrelevant. Doing it again. Who cares?
What are the chances of them all coming out? Look at the games.
You're not going to come out again.
We'll look at the games that won't be played with Andy Brassel when he joins us in the studio.
My football weekend started at Brentford.
Yeah, you saw a lot of last-minute goals.
I did. And I've worked out why I like going to Brentford.
Yeah.
Why I enjoy. Because I don't actually care whether they win or not. I want them to win.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
It doesn't make you feel
bad. I don't get that sort of, if they lose, I don't get that sort of walk around going 8-1 and
tearing the place down.
But it was really, it's great to watch.
It's kind of joy. It's the joy of football without the jeopardy, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. Yeah. But I had a very funny thing that the bloke next to me, he's a very nice man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I told you, but I let him, I couldn't go for four games actually, so it just coincided with Chelsea games and various things. So I let him use my season ticket.
Yeah.
And we'd been chatting and various things. I'd talk about the show, and people had come up to me and said, "All right, Andy, how you doing, Andy?" And you should give up Chelsea, come here, and all this stuff. And I sat next to him during the Chelsea game, so he could see that I was a big Chelsea fan. So he comes up to me and he said to me, "Are you who I think you are? This is Friday night.
Is that this new series on BBC One?"
Yeah. So I said, "Yes, I am who you think you am." And I said, "I didn't realise." He said, "I've listened for years and everything." I said, "What do you mean you didn't realise? You've had my season ticket with my name on it."
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, he's a detective. That's not great.
You're in the wrong game,
not
mate.
Not great. I mean, I've talked about Paul and Tottenham and everything. Was it this thing? I've got a mate called Paul who likes Tottenham. It was brilliant.
Come on, Sherlock, put it all together. Oh, he's going to get some stick for that. That's a corker, isn't it? I was, somebody stopped me the other day, just heard me talking, and they came up to me and they said, "Are you Paul Hawksby or Andy Jacobs?" And I said, "Well, on some days I'm both, on other days I'm neither." So he said again, he listened to the show. So it was lovely to see you. Andy Goldstein points out the telescope. It's got nothing to do with the A Sky at Night music. He said, "That's what all peeping Toms say."
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe Jeff Bezos has got something on me, Andy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, eavesdrop on any conversation today. It doesn't matter who it is, really, whether they're interested in motorsport or not. They're all talking about safety cars. Etc.
I blame Latifi. What on earth was he doing crashing at that point? You know, four laps to go at the end of the season.
I don't think he intended to.
No, but what's he? Why were they? You know, pointless.
I love the logic of that. What was he doing crashing at that point?
Well, exactly.
Anyway, I think we all know the fundamentals of this by now. Unless you've just woken up after,
then you
won't
be
on nights. You won't be interested.
Don't even bother.
James Allen, motorsport commentator and expert, joins us now to try and make sense of some of it. Hi, James.
How you doing, lads?
Good, thank you. One of the things that struck me and why we wanted to ask you today was how much leeway does Michael Massey have within the rules of F1, where that is at the moment? How much leeway does he have to make judgments like this on the hoof? And will ultimately the FIA back him because they say, look, he's the race director, he called it as he saw it, and he had our remit to do so?
I think that is exactly the question, actually. I mean, Mercedes have, as you know, have put forward an intention to appeal the decision of the stewards in Abu Dhabi from last night. They had to do that within an hour of the result, and then they've now got basically 90 odd hours to decide whether or not to go forward with the appeal. And bear in mind that the actual prize giving is on Thursday evening in Paris, so there isn't an awful lot of time to work this one through, otherwise it starts to get almost as embarrassing as a Champions League draw. But the question is, how much leeway does Michael Massey, the race director, have? I mean, the rules are written down, but they don't envisage every single scenario of what might happen. And let's say that accident, that very inconsiderate accident, as you put it, of Latifi's, if that had happened, say, five laps earlier, what would have happened would be that they would have cleared it away, and then all the lapped cars would have been told to unlap themselves. They would have gone round sort of at higher speed than the safety car to get out of the way, basically, and sort of try and rejoin the pack. And at the end of that lap, the next lap, the safety car would have been switched its lights off to say it's coming in at the end of the lap, and then they would have gone racing. Now, if you'd done that last night, then that would have been the last lap of the race. So basically, they would have crossed the line with Hamilton leading and Verstappen behind. So what they were trying to do was to let them race, which was the kind of ethos, you know, wherever possible, let's let the rules stay out of the way and let's try and let people race. And so Michael Massey didn't necessarily observe a couple of the aspects that are in the rules about the timing and the procedures. I mean, the race director is there to ensure the safe running of the event, but that's exactly what any appeal will come down to, is what's his ability to decide that himself.
Wouldn't normally he had a 12-second lead going into the safety car? Wouldn't Verstappen have had to have passed five cars to get to him normally if they just restarted the race? It does seem incredibly unfair that you have a 12-second lead going into the safety car, and when it goes, oh, you're next to each other. Oh, that seems really fair. I mean, from a sort of lay person, it just seemed completely unfair.
Well, no, because that is what would normally happen in a race. If, as I say, if it had happened 5 or 10 laps earlier, then the lapped cars, when a safety car comes out, have a chance to kind of unlap themselves. So you would be, whoever was behind second place would be right up behind the leader for the restart of the race. That, it always happens like that. What makes it seem really unfair is the fact that it was really close to the end of the race. And of course, what makes it also worse is the fact that, I mean, Red Bull were really smart. They had nothing to lose. When the safety car came out, they told Verstappen to come into the pits and put on a set of soft tyres, because then if there was going to be a final racing lap, Verstappen would have massively quicker tyres and a lot more grip to make an overtake on Hamilton. The tricky bit would be whether or not there was time to get those 5 lap cars out of the way in order to go racing again. And that's where all the controversy comes from, because I think, you know, that's why sort of people are finding this a little bit sort of hard to swallow, really, because there was this rule, there was this message from race control that the lap cars wouldn't be allowed to pass, and then they changed that, and it's that kind of inconsistency, I think, which people find really, really hard to take. And we're talking now here, I mean, obviously it's quite tribal, like all of these things are. So all the Hamilton fans think that the whole thing is rigged and it's the most giant scandal ever, and all the Verstappen fans think that the Mercedes team and anybody on Hamilton's side is like Donald Trump, you know, trying to deny a victory and a fairly won victory. So it's all pretty polarised. But I think what I see is a lot of neutrals who just feel uncomfortable with the optics of it. I'm very personally uncomfortable with the optics of the team bosses being able to lobby the race director on the radio. He has to be able to talk to the operations guys in the teams to tell them to do stuff that he wants them to do. But I think team bosses lobbying and trying to get things their way is not something we really need. And I think a lot of fans will feel very uncomfortable with that as well.
I've got a question coming from Ishmael. He says, could you ask James why it was OK for the lap cars to stay between Sainz in third and Verstappen in second? Why was the second place car the only one to get the benefit of lap cars being moved out the way?
It wasn't OK. Yeah, he's right. And the actual wording of the rule doesn't say all lapped cars. It says any lapped cars, which is slightly vague and probably needs to be tidied up. But he's absolutely right. One of the big controversies here is they just got the cars out of the way that were between Hamilton and Verstappen. And there was a couple of others further back who ought to have been released as well. So Ishmael's spot on there.
Just one final question, James. I've heard it suggested, because you get all sorts of conspiracy theories, that Drive to Survive has been incredibly good for business on Netflix for F1. It's grown the audience, especially in the States, which has obviously been the holy grail for F1 for a long time. They're trying to get a serious foothold in the States. And that, you know, they felt, the feeling was the FIA, that the sport needed that. Drive to Survive needed that. They needed an end game. They needed a one-lap shootout. I mean, what do you make of that?
It's an interesting conspiracy theory. I mean, one of the big, I don't disagree with the general feeling that the sport has responded to this Drive to Survive has brought in lots of new fans, younger fans, more female audiences, all good things, all things any sport really wants to have happen. And I think the coverage of the sport has definitely reflected that, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. What you need to remember, though, when you talk about rules and fairness of rules applications, is that Formula One, unlike a lot of other sports, there's a separation between the commercial side of it and the actual governance part, which you don't see, for example, in football and some of those other sports. So the FIA are only there to do the rules, to enforce the rules. They have no commercial interest in it. It's Formula One themselves, which is owned by Liberty Media. They're the ones who did the Drive to Survive series. They're the ones who want to grow the sport and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not quite as clear cut with our sport as it is with some others, that you've got that question mark. And one of the reasons why it's split is to avoid so-called conflicts of interest like that, you know, where rulemakers are doing things just purely for sort of commercial reasons, which you do find in other sports, but that's not the way it works in motor racing.
James, thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
James Allen there, F1 expert, and well, they could still go to the Court of Arbitration for sport, couldn't they? Whatever, depending on what happens later in the week.
There's a strange interview with Lewis by Jenson Button as well. He didn't even ask him about the safety car or anything afterwards. It was
maybe
weird.
As we said, it was a kind of FIA official interview.
Yeah, but, you know, it still looks bad, you know.
No, it does, yeah. You know, not Frost Nixon, was it,
no,
really?
I'm never watching again. That's it.
That's it. You've got off the sport. So it's put you off the sport,
yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, I just thought it was pathetic.
What with that? What with that and Chelsea getting sort of Krakatoa in the next round? Now you're going to get PSG.
I'm not happy.
You're not happy, are you?
No.
I just said, Leicester City fans, you're playing Randers, which is going to confuse a lot of sort of West Ham
Randers.
Fans.
Randers.
But West Ham fans are now going to go play football and they're playing Randers. I love a game of Randers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. It's gone 2 o'clock. I mean, the kind of precision we've got used to from UEFA, they haven't started the draw yet.
They're still having lunch, aren't they?
They are. They're probably having a nice leisurely lunch, and that all went rather well, I think. So, anyway, it's coming up. Just to remind you, it's absolutely pointless what I'm about to do, but who knows? Some of these may come out again, but who are going to be the winners and losers? This was the first draw. Benfica versus Real Madrid. Villarreal versus Manchester City, having originally been pulled out of Manchester United, which they couldn't do, of course, because they're in the same group. Atletico versus Bayern Munich. There's some good games in this. Salzburg Liverpool, which Liverpool I'm sure would have been delighted with. Inter Ajax, another game of European giants. Sporting versus Juve. Chelsea got Lille, which is the lowest ranked team in the competition. So Andy, you're obviously delighted with that original draw. And it was the mouth-watering prospect of Messi versus Ronaldo, PSG versus Manchester United. So there would have been a reluctance, I think, of UEFA to redraw that, because there are some very, very entertaining games in there. But none of those are going to be played now. So we await the new draw, which as yet has not started.
Hapless.
I think that's pretty true. We asked you about your own draw cock-ups. Due to circumstances, I ended up running two teams at under-11s about 10 years ago. We ended up drawing each other in the Shropshire County Cup. Didn't go down too well with my parents. My original team won 10-0, says Stuart. You want to be managing both sides at once. Not very good. Before I proposed to my wife, I went to the circus to ask the manager if I could do it in a circus ring. Novel. Steve, the Chelsea fan. He suggested he would get me to draw the raffle at the interval. When we got to the circus the next day, I tried everything to not let my family buy a raffle ticket. But without me knowing, my fiance had bought a ticket. So when I went to draw the ticket before I proposed, I pulled out the number, and it was only my daughter's ticket that won a giant teddy lion. What's a teddy lion? That's an odd hybrid. Anyway, Steve, thank you very much for that. So some of your draw fails after UEFA. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. And I mentioned earlier on Jeff Bezos's quite quirky algorithm that thought, based on absolutely nothing at all, I might be interested in buying a telescope, my phone told me recently. 217 quid's worth of telescope. I wasn't, basically. I'd never shown any interest in it. Steve Pye says, because I bought the 2005 Ashes DVD, Amazon thought I might be interested in Australia's 5 England nil DVD.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The 6-7 series. I swore at their email. Man, swearing at emails. That's not healthy, Steve. So keep those coming as well. Dodgy algorithms, flashing stuff up that you don't quite understand, and your draw fails. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J.
Your lucky cat didn't work.
It didn't. He burnt it.
I burnt it, put it in an urn.
Put it in an urn, and we'll play for it at some point. But yeah, I gave Andy a baggy green the other day.
Very nice.
Iconic Australian cat that they say you can't buy anywhere, but actually you can buy from Jeff and his algorithm.
You're going to get a lot of Australian cricket gear coming through.
So I'm going to get that DVD that Steve Pye got.
Life-size model of Daddles, that'll be on your list.
That's right. All this Australian cricket stuff. Glenn McGrath T-shirt. I said wear it, because that'll be the reverse, because you'll bock the Australians if you wear their iconic cap. And of course, the way we thought it would go, we were speaking about the cricket the other day, saying what will probably happen is that Milan and Root will be out in about 5 minutes and we'll collapse. And
it's hope that kills you, because there was just a glimmer of hope that if they could have batted well and seen the new ball off, and you know, but it wasn't to be. And you know, I find Root and just. You know, I just don't get him. I just don't get his thinking. After all that, he said, "No, I didn't make the wrong decision. If we'd made more runs, my decision would have been fine." But that's why you didn't make more runs, because you made that decision. He can't see that he got it wrong completely, and he did, and it's sad.
Currently are back. They're just about to start the draw. They're apologising for having to come back here this afternoon. The original draw caused by a malfunction of the software. That's run through an outside provider.
Oh, of course it
not
is.
Not us, Gov.
No,
nothing
us.
To do with us. No, that's
right.
He's
got a look of Ranieri about him, hasn't he, that fellow?
He does look like a young Ranieri. Giorgio Marchetti, I think it is, from UEFA. Yeah. So the full draw will be redone. They're just explaining why it didn't happen this morning. That's right. Everything's going to be checked, apparently, this time. They're not going to get it wrong. This means that the draw may be slightly longer. Oh, good.
Of course it will.
Yeah.
We might as well just wait till it's over and then tell you what it is.
They'll probably do the last one at four at Drive. Anyway, you know all the teams that are going to be drawn. And as soon as it starts, we'll bring that to you very, very shortly.
You see that Ralph Hasenhüttl
has
gone from scuba diving suit that he used to wear.
Yeah.
He's now John Steed of the Avengers.
Oh, so,
you see that triple, he's sort of like very nice.
I missed it. He's gone from under manager of a Tyrolean resort. He was starting to dress like
it
that.
It was like
wasn't
a sort of three-piece suit and a very nice shirt and
he
tie.
Changed at half time, yeah. John Turner.
Well, that's his new thing.
David Bowie.
No, it's like an actress at the Oscars. He has a different outfit. And then for the after match interviews, he's going to put another outfit on.
Wow, he's getting right into it, isn't he? It's fantastic. Oh, well, here we are. Well, we seem to be making a bit of a start. And the little footballs are being unscrewed as we speak. Okay, and we start the game with the procedure.
FC Salzburg.
FC Salzburg have popped up. I mean, I'll keep an eye on this because we've got no sound. We're just following this. And so FC Salzburg, who are they likely to draw? Remember the first time around, they had Liverpool. So let's see who they have this time. As you said, it is taking quite a lot long because everyone is being checked by the auditor and they're taking an awfully long time to... get the second ball out. So here we go. The ones that can't be drawn. Andreas Scharwin's all looking a bit confused. He's standing there waiting to be told what to open.
He's still hoping the draw will be tomorrow. It's a bit like his transfer.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, they do seem to overcomplicate this draw, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do.
Boxes and boxes of balls. So we're going to Salzburg. Who have they got? There we are, Andreas Scharwin, just about to do the honours.
It's just rubbish, isn't it? Honestly, it's pathetic.
And they will take on Bayern Munich.
Oh, that's okay. Good.
Fair enough. Well, an RB versus a Bayern, there'll be a bit of...
So they would have had Liverpool.
They would have had Liverpool, but
now they've got Bayern.
They've now got Bayern. I mean, really, to be fair.
Not a great improvement for them, really.
It hasn't panned out particularly well in either case. As here we go, then. Giorgio's just given us the second name out of the hat. And that is Sporting.
Sporting of Portugal.
Sporting of Portugal, yep. So Sporting are coming out the hat. They originally had Juventus, so they'll be able to make a touch more favourable. They have to decide the teams they can't play because of they played in the group stage. And our man from UEFA has to go in and keep removing. I mean, honestly, it's like a croupier's job, isn't it? It's very complicated.
Oh, you can see why it went wrong the first time out.
I mean, he wasn't grey before this draw started, the bloke taking the balls out, but he is now. It's prematurely grey, isn't
he? It's marvellous, isn't it?
It's quite easy for Andreas Scharwin. You can't blame him. All he has to do is just pick a ball out.
No, it's not his fault.
Who have Sporting got? I say Juve last time. This time, Andre, it is.
We'll play.
Some good unscrewing there by the former Arsenal man. And he shows us the magic piece of paper, and that is
Manchester City
have got Sporting.
So who did City have originally?
Manchester City had Villarreal first.
Yeah, so about similar.
Yeah, sort of. I would say. You know,
they were going to beat whoever
Portuguese
they played,
connections
there.
So far, Salzburg, Bayern Munich, Sporting Lisbon versus Manchester City. That's the draw currently. Next one out is Benfica. So Benfica have come out. And let's see who Benfica are going to be playing. There we are. We've got the ball readjustment going on, if you know what I mean. That's something to be done at the moment.
Those pants I bought.
Yeah, those ones you bought
from Uniqlo.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't have to be quite as graphic as that, Andy. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that one. So, yeah, there's a slight delay while they try and sort that out.
Have you ever seen anything as pathetic as this, honestly? It's chronic, isn't it, the way they're doing it?
Yeah, it is. So this is the only way. It's just they have to make sure that they put all the right balls into that pot from all the different groups. So Benfica, they will play. Originally, Benfica were playing Real Madrid. This time around, they find themselves...
Nuneaton Borough.
Yeah.
It's gone
Ajax. It's Ajax.
Ajax.
Ajax, who were supposed to be playing Inter. But it is now Salzburg by Munich. Sporting Lisbon versus Manchester City, Benfica v Ajax, and we continue then with the draw. So next up, here we are, the slow unscrewing of the ball. Nothing like a draw in complete silence to Chelsea. Well, here we go, Andy.
Oh, yeah, Chelsea.
Here we go. This could make for a very interesting another hour and three quarters from Andy's point of view. Depending on who they drew. They drew Lille, the lowest ranked team.
Mumbai Indians.
That's right. World challengers. Anything could happen in this draw, couldn't it, at the moment? Yeah. So who's coming out next? We're going to make sure He takes them all out the right pot so he doesn't get another cock-up. But say it was Chelsea-Lille last time, so let's see who they get. Or something. So a limit to the sides they can get based on what happened in the group. So let's see who it is. Chelsea will play. Come on, Andre. Unscrew those balls, mate. Get moving. Here we go with a magic piece of paper, which says... Lille! You were destined.
Fated.
Oh,
to
look
play
him.
Lille.
He's in a very good mood now.
Oh, that's good.
He's in a very good mood.
Easy games in the Champions League, but that's a bit of...
Although Adrian Durham did get in touch with me earlier on, and he said Chelsea couldn't beat Burnley, so what makes him think they're going to beat Lille?
Yeah, it's the usual intelligent comment from Adrian there. Was he at the match?
O'clock.
I think we could have won about 16-0.
Atletico Madrid are next out of the hat. Okay, so...
Where are Peterborough? Are they in the draw? Oh, no, they're not. What a surprise.
I didn't expect you to dwell on it this long. Okay, Atletico come out, and they had Bayern last time around. So anything could be a bonus after that. So let's
see.
Could
be Manchester United.
They get. Yeah. So we await that. Andre Sharvin's ready to go. He's just got two to choose from there. It's all looking above board so far. Nothing's gone wrong as far as we can tell. So here we go. It's Atletico Madrid versus Manchester United. So there we are.
Yeah,
I think they'll fancy this chance.
I think United have
Manchester
a good
United,
chance there.
Not the best Atletico side. So just a reminder, they originally got PSG. So Salzburg, Bayern, Sporting versus Man City, Benfica, Ajax, Chelsea, Lille, which was the same as the first.
Cristiano
story.
Going back to Madrid.
He certainly is. Atletico versus Manchester United. Villarreal are out of the hat now. And as long as it doesn't say Manchester United, the next ball, I think we might be all right. So,
Juventus,
originally got Manchester City. Let's see. What, so, they still have teams left, Andy.
Oh, I see.
You've got Madrid and Liverpool and other teams to come out. So, it's Villarreal, and they will play. Just awaiting. Yes. So, here we go.
Ronnie O'Sullivan. Oh, no.
Juventus. Yeah. Villarreal will play. You're not helping, Andy. Will play. Some people have written down Ronnie O'Sullivan and Royal Challengers Bangalore and Nuneaton Borough. So there we are. Salzburg, Bayern, Sporting City, Benfica, Ajax, Chelsea, Lille, Atletico, Manchester United, Villarreal, Juve. And finally, I think it's Inter. There's still more to come out, isn't there? Of course, I'm going mad. Keep going. Let's just keep going, guys. I say finally. Yes. Who's coming out next? It is Inter currently, and they will play.
The only available option is Liverpool,
Yes. I think
so it must
is.
Be Liverpool.
It must be Liverpool. Inter versus Liverpool.
That is a harder game for Liverpool. I still fancy Liverpool, but that is a harder game for them, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. There we are. And we have one more to go. And it's PSG.
PSG versus Real Madrid.
I don't trust them for it not to say. Somebody else. So let's make sure they do get that. It's the only one it can possibly be. But let's
Which is what it
confirmed.
Was originally, PSG and Real Madrid, wasn't
it? PSG Manchester United, first draw. PSG was Manchester United. Real Madrid had Benfica, an altogether easier draw, you would think.
That's
but yes,
tougher.
So there it is, PSG versus Real Madrid. So there we are. What about that? That concludes the draw for the Champions League, the second draw today. Games to be played in February at some point. I haven't got the dates in front of me. So there we are. That's it. It is Salzburg versus Bayern, Sporting Lisbon versus Manchester City, Benfica v Ajax, Chelsea Lille, Atletico versus Manchester United, Villarreal versus Juventus, Inter v Liverpool, PSG versus Real Madrid. So it was PSG United, PSG Real Madrid, another great game of football.
Yeah.
So
there we
are.
Go. Well, that's exciting.
That is the revised and bona fide draw for the Champions League. We'll bring you some more reaction to that. I'm sure there'll be more throughout the day. Interesting to know what would you have preferred, the first draw or the second draw, folks? Let us know if you've got skin in this particular game.
I preferred the first draw.
Yeah. Well, when you drew Lille, as you did. And he's in such a good mood now. It would have been a lot funnier if they'd got PSG, but it would have been a bit awkward, I think. The language in the brakes would have been a bit fruity. So there we are.
Hopefully they'll have improved. They weren't great on Saturday, so we'll see.
City had Villarreal. Now they've got Sporting. Manchester United had PSG. Now they've got Atletico. And Liverpool have got Inter when they previously had Salzburg. So, yeah, a few things to focus the mind there. Tom Rennie will be joining us shortly. We're going to pour over the Premier League weekend. We'll get his thoughts on that Champions League draw as well. But, yeah, our focus will be on some of the talking points from this Premier League weekend. Some people suggested we should have had Pele on in the background. A bit of Pele would have been nice. It would have been nice to have a little bit of incidental music, even dramatic draw music.
Well, that would have been it. Pele wasn't really relevant. Something a bit more European.
Yeah, that would have been. Anyway, it's too late now. We've done it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we switch our attention from the Champions League and that revised draw to the Premier League. It was eventful, as always. Mark Housey will join us a little bit later on, former Premier League referee. He called VAR this weekend an absolute shambles, and he'll tell us more. But we may touch on it in our next section as we look back on the Premier League weekend with broadcast and journalists. Tom Rennie. Hi, Tom.
I'm delighted to be here. When are you throwing me off for the third Champions League draw? Do I do 5 minutes here, then we do it again, and then Chelsea get Lille again? That's what happens.
The moment when Pedro Pinto says, didn't they play in the same group together? Let's go back to the start.
Oh, it's the Champions League. Oh, no.
Yeah,
Arshavin, get back here.
That's where it's all gone wrong. Anyway, maybe we should start with Palace-Everton. We were just saying off air that I'm sure a number of Palace fans having a pint after the game last night thinking, you know, if we made Conor Gallagher a good offer, if we made Chelsea like an offer, like, I reckon he'll stay, but I think we're minded to think that's not going to happen.
I sent Martin Tyler, the match commentator and our old friend, I sent him a text after the match saying, could you please stop trying to sell Conor Gallagher on our behalf? We're going to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You think, if you say Tuchel's a big fan, Andy? Yeah?
Big fan. He played really well in pre-season. He's having a wonderful season. Absolutely what Chelsea need. I can't believe anybody thinks that they won't use him. He's the sort of player Chelsea would pay 50 million quid for.
Yeah.
So why would they sell him? What's the point?
Well, there's a lot of variables with Chelsea, though, isn't there, right? That we couldn't guarantee Tuchel will be there come the start of next season, Chelsea have always been. So it doesn't really matter what the plan is currently for August next year, because there's every chance that Tuchel might lose 3 games in a row, get knocked out by the mighty Leo in the Champions League, and we've got an interim followed by a caretaker followed by some other scenario. So I think he's good enough to play for Chelsea, Conor Gallagher. I mean, it was another incredible, virtuoso, energetic performance. And what you note about him is that he doesn't stop moving. And it seems like, you know, everyone should be like that, but they're not. A lot of players do kind of wander around a little bit, wait for the ball to come in their area. And, you know, I did the Norwich game this weekend and it was similar. He's not as good in any way to Josh Sargent, right? Because Josh Sargent's not a good footballer, but he doesn't stop moving. And so you look at his work rate and you're like, wow, incredible. But then he can't kick a football. But Conor Gallagher has the work rate, but then the composure, then the brilliance of the finish. You know, he's always looking for the second ball, the third ball. He's telling people 10 years older than him, give me the ball in this position, then go there. Fantastic performance. Again, he was crucial to the victory, but I do feel sorry for Everton. I do feel sorry for Rafa, because the injury list is massive. But then again, he's so often the architect of his own downfall in these scenarios. And a fallout with Luka Dinja.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Ben Godfrey. I think he's a good player, but he's not a left-back.
Mm.
And I watched him at Wolves a few months ago at left-back. He doesn't know how to play there. And he gave away the first goal to Wolves that night.
I've got a feeling that Chelsea might have a look at him if Chilwell proves to be out. They're not that many decent left-backs.
Dinja, absolutely. I mean, if they're going to back Rafa, and they'd be mad not to, because I'm not sure there's too many ex-Real Madrid managers available now, is there, that they could actually get, then I think Dinja would be a fantastic signing for somebody. But the fallout there, I think that directly contributed to their defeat, you know?
I think there's part of the Everton fan base that don't want to turn it on him, because they know that, you know, that some of the problems are upstairs, not really in the manager's hands. Yeah. But they were booing the substitutions yesterday, and that's never a good sign.
Yeah, and I do wonder about, Richarlison's calf injury. Oh, he's in the red zone of calf injury. Like, you know, he was a bit high-handed, Rafa, the way he answered that question. You know, fans just don't know. And I just think he had to start well, and he didn't particularly start well. It was a rather middling start of the season, good run of form for Andros Townsend. It's got worse. It's tailed off badly. You can't then be high-handed with the fans. You've got to manage that situation. And I think there's a reason that Rafa's had 900 clubs, and we're seeing it now.
He didn't start playing until they were 2-1, until they scored a goal.
Yeah,
they gave it a go at the end, but, you know.
Should we look at Leicester Newcastle? And, I mean, from Newcastle's point of view, you turn up at Leicester, team that played Thursday night, got knocked out the Europa League.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of injuries. COVID outbreak. Evans gets injured early on when they haven't got a lot of defenders anyway. And you still get gubbed 4-0. That's not a good sign.
Well, the first goal was so crucial in that game. So crucial in all these games. In this little run where they're going to be quite tight. You're going to get a lot of draws. And it's going to take VARs and penalties and luck and, you know, mistakes to win. And it's a penalty in 2021 for James Maddison, right? That's. I mean, unfortunately, we've all accepted diving is part and parcel of football now. And there's no point me coming on here and railing against diving. Is it a dive? Yes. It's a penalty? Yes. You know, both things are true. Because the moment Lascelles isn't pulling his foot out of that challenge, Maddison's going to jump towards it and get the penalty. It was absolutely crucial. And from that point, I think the big concern was Newcastle just utterly crumbled in that second half. But I still think they may well be all right, Newcastle.
Yeah,
I still think they may well be all right. No,
yeah,
no one's adrift. Yeah, that's the thing.
But the worst thing ever they came up with was the idea of this clear and obvious thing. Yeah. It should just be. The VAR should look at it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether the referee did. Have a look at it. And what do you think? You've got the benefit of looking at it again.
But they talk so much
about
that high
wrong,
bar,
then get the guy to look at it, the referee himself. Then you'll get the right decision.
But there's clear and obvious. But then you also then have the high bar. So does that reach the high bar for our analysis in order to assert that is a clear and obvious error in which we'll then get the referee to go and review it, and you think, no, is it true or false?
Yeah,
no, was it was it a foul or not? Just tell me. If I made a mistake, a massive error here, I was talking about Man U when you asked me about Newcastle, I'd like you to say, you mean Newcastle, right? And I'd like to say, oh, I'm sorry, rather than you let me wibble on about Ralph Rangnick for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead, they're not helping them. So, you know, you want to say, oh, the referee got it wrong, but what help did he have on the field? He made a wrong decision, and then the bloke wasn't brave enough to say, actually, I think that's probably an error there. But actually, I don't think it was an error because you get things like that in this day and age. Cheating is accepted. Diving is accepted. It's part of it. You're allowed to go over and draw a foul. I would call it cheating. I would call it diving. Yeah. But I lost that argument as all good, honest people did many years ago.
I wonder, Tom, if Lascelles' reaction, which was pretty kind of, oh, well. Yeah. And then the Newcastle players, no one really complained. I wonder if Lascelles had stood over Maddison saying, get up, or screaming, I mean, had gone to the ref and said, that's a dive. Whether that would, it was John Moss, wasn't it? That would have put, was it? Who was it?
John Moss did the Man City game. Referee escapes me.
But. Oh, that's what, would that referee have then gone over at the monitor? Would there have been more pressure? Because they just seem to accept it.
The
as
funny
a
thing about John Moss is, that we'll do City in a minute,
John
but
Moss,
the fans made
given
it happen.
Handball.
Yeah. Quite possibly. I mean,
John Moss gave the first booking to Jimenez in that game because the fans were on him because there was a couple of decisions. If it was St James's Park, would it have been given as a penalty?
Yeah.
Would Jonjo Shelvey and Lascelles and all the senior players at Newcastle have taken umbrage and said something? They probably would, but there was just an immediate heads drop moment, and that's got to change at Newcastle. Everyone had to be on the referee at that point. And you're right, they just went, oh, well, lost again. Never mind. See you next week.
It did feel like that. Tom Rennie's with us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tom Rennie's with us in the studio, right on broadcast. We're heading through the Premier League games. We better crack on. We've got a lot to get through. Burnley, West Ham. This shouldn't take long, to be honest.
No,
I didn't even watch the highlights because I thought to myself on my phone because I thought nil-nil is not worth it.
You're a busy man. You got things on. That's fair enough. I mean, I did watch it on your behalf, the full 90 minutes, and I thought that it was a pretty dreadful game of football. Burnley did their Burnley thing and tried to nick it in the last five when they got 0-0 in 85 minutes, which was the plan. But for West Ham, Declan Rice was fantastic. Some of the driving runs he does from deep, he wasn't doing that 18 months ago. There's times where he's beating three or four players and getting in the box. But then that in-the-box bit was where West Ham kept getting it wrong. Antonio's getting shut down. He's right off form in front of goal. There's no replacement striker. Benrahma's not doing it. Lanzini's not doing it. The story of the game is the fact that Greg Dawson should have got a penalty.
Yeah, based on some of the others that were given this weekend.
See if they have a look at Brereton Diaz, who looks like he's going to go in January.
Blimey.
Tony Mowbray.
If you read the quotes from Tony Mowbray, I mean, it sounds like they've booked his cab. Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like he's off in January.
But that would be, I think that would be the kind of signing that West Ham, if they make it, that's a good 18-month project to get him to become a Premier League level striker. That the issue is that the door is ajar once again. Last year, they missed out on the Champions League by 2 points. This year, if they do it again, it may well be because they don't win games like Burnley yesterday because there is no striker on the field. But should have been a penalty. Dawson should have got it. Mo Salah would have got it. Dawson didn't get it. And that's why we need the VAR. One guy making these calls.
I think it's a good idea, the VAR. Pope played well as well. Just the only other thing to take away from that. Arsenal-Southampton, pretty routine for Arsenal, despite the many costume changes of Ralph Hasenhüttl.
Yeah.
They've gone back to
coming
that
out
thing,
in the conical
they?
Bra for the last 5 minutes. When he does Material Girl, that was very good. It's all been about Aubameyang, isn't it? Laura Woods chatting about it with the guys this morning. He's, you know, that's only seems to be heading one way, doesn't it?
Whether he missed the meeting for for legitimate reasons or not, I don't know at this point whether Arteta should be of banning Aubameyang from playing for whatever the reason was. You know, the issue is that Aubameyang right now doesn't fit into this Arsenal team, doesn't fit into the Arteta ethos. And I think what we got against Southampton was probably Arsenal's strongest team. They had Tierney in it. They had Tomiyasu, I think, is really good. Ramsdale's making lots and lots of saves. Partey and Xhaka. Lacazette, I think, is their best actual centre-forward. I know Smith-Rowe wasn't there, but insert Odegaard, and that's basically the same player.
But
the same
if Caballero had been playing, I mean, bless him, you know, he's 40, but if he'd been playing...
That's never great we have to say bless him about a goal. It's not one of your nan's friends.
Oh.
You know, bless him.
Poor Willie, love the old fella.
If they'd swapped goalkeepers, that game would have finished 3-3. It would have done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much you can blame Caballero for a couple of goals. I mean, he's not in any way their first choice in every single scenario.
No, but it doesn't inspire the defence.
No.
But Arsenal back to their sort of, you know, beat the fodder and lose to the
team. But they were good. They're making incremental improvements.
We'll see this week, though. This is one of the key games of midweek, I think, is against West Ham.
I'll be there Wednesday, yeah.
It's going to be fascinating to see, because so far Arsenal haven't looked good against teams above them.
And West Ham look very good against teams that you've heard of. You know, if you're a top six, top seven team, they're fantastic, but then don't beat Burnley.
I would fancy West Ham in that game, but yeah, it'd be terrific.
Chelsea Leeds, Andy, you were there. That was another eventful one, wasn't it? Were late goals. Tuchel said you were lucky. You felt that?
They were fortunate. I mean, it's really odd. The two games they've won where they didn't deserve to, and three games that they've got nothing out of other than 2 points, where they were the better side. So it's a funny thing at the moment, but it's not quite right, and it's all down to midfield. You know, the midfield is
great game of football, though. I mean, tremendous entertainment value to watching Leeds.
Leeds had a lot of players missing, and they still did put up a great show. I thought.
I think they played some
lovely football.
The issue with Chelsea, though, is that defensively, you mentioned the midfield issues, which are obvious, you know, to not have N'Golo Kante, and that seems like it's only going one way with him right now. The replacement needs to come in for him with the continual niggly injuries that he's picking up at the moment. But everyone's praising Rudiger, and I love Rudiger. I love the drives down the left-hand side, but he's chaos. He's absolute chaos, the guy. He's popping up right and left. You watch where the Gilhart goal comes from. He's the left centre-half, and he's closing over on the right-hand side. Not to say it's his fault the goals went in, but there's a real lack of what I would expect from Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea, which is defensive discipline. You know, they're a little bit gung-ho. Rudiger wins both penalties. I want he's a bit like new Luis. I want him to be a good footballer. I want him to contribute going forward. But first and foremost, be a defender. Keep him out. When we're leading the game, don't charge down the left wing. And even the fact he lost his head at the end. You know, you could perennially say in every game, you have a tweet ready if you're in the stands, oh, Rudiger's lost it here. Like, every week it's the same. Just there's a little bit of indiscipline, ill-discipline about
Chelsea. He probably won't be there next season, I don't think.
Well, £400,000 a week, I'd play anywhere for that, to be fair.
And Rafinha, I honestly don't understand these players, you know. They don't get karma, do they? He starts celebrating and goading us. He's right in front of us, and you think, don't do that, mate. It's very early in the game for this, you know.
But that's the Leeds attitude, though, right? And that's why they continue to compete in these games. And that's why, I mean, they should have been beaten by Chelsea player for player. You know, you look at maybe Rafinha would get into the Chelsea lineup from who played the weekend, and that's it. But they go toe-to-toe, and they do that tactically, and they do it symbolically. You know, they're willing to fight every Chelsea fan to get something, and that's why, despite the massive injury list they've still got, they're going to be okay this year.
Yeah, there was trouble outside the ground, actually.
That's right.
Oh, really? Would you it?
They had a load of trouble. Getting
Wimbling
in
was you?
Well, nothing to do with me.
A lot of Leeds fans said they had real problems getting in. They were being sort of corralled outside.
No, this was outside the restaurant on Fulham Road. Yeah.
Well, they've got previous, as we know. Liverpool Villa, what were the takeaways from that, Tom, in your eyes?
I love Emi Martinez in goal. I think he's just fantastic. He made so many brilliant saves. I love, a bit like Ramsdale as well, he just loves making saves. And I love it when he makes a save and he obviously really enjoyed it. And I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. For Liverpool, I think they would have won it more comfortably if Martinez wasn't in goal. But another one of those ones where it was a penalty. And was it a dive from Salah? Yeah, it was. But was it a penalty? Yeah, it was. Because he cuts across Tyrone Mings. The moment Mings makes that tackle, it's going to be a penalty unless he gets the ball and none of Salah. It is a 2021 penalty. And as annoying as that is for some people, I am one of those people, I have more than accepted that is going to be a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty.
He was going to have one, though.
I couldn't understand why it wasn't, because there was a discussion on Match of the Day, which was he touches the ball, but it's irrelevant. Rafinha touched the ball in the challenge on Rudiger. Touching the ball is irrelevant if there's also a foul or a follow-through or a contact. Mm. And he gets the ball with one finger and gets there first, but the other arm takes Danny Ings. It's a clear penalty.
He's been a bit iffy this season, Alisson. He's a brilliant keeper, but it hasn't been too costly, but he has made some ricks, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with, for me, for Liverpool, it's all about Salah. He's completely indispensable. If they were to lose him, which they will, then they've got a problem.
Yeah.
Whereas,
I think you're right.
City don't have that problem.
No, not to the same extent, losing key personnel. Manchester City Wolves, it was brainless by Jimenez. I mean, I suppose it's John Moss, isn't it, as you said, for this game. He could have said, look, just calm down.
Oh, he should have done.
Just said, no, I don't have to, you know, I should really give you a second. Right. Technically yeah. right, because he puts a foot and he kicks the ball, but he could have had a word with him. Yeah. But refs tend not to do that.
This
anymore.
Is one of those I always think of as an Eric Cartman red card. It was a respect my authority moment from John Moss, right? the first one, it's not the first one's not a yellow, but he gave it
that's
from
why
fan
I should,
pressure.
That's why I should have given him a warning because the first one wasn't even a yellow.
But he obviously, for whatever reason, has given it. Once you've given it, well, as soon as Jimenez does that silly blocking of the... Everyone does it, right? But as soon as you're on a yellow card in that scenario, heated atmosphere, you've just got yellow, you've got to walk away. It was really brainless. But the first one is not a yellow card. It shouldn't be given. And if he did say to him, Raul, come on, please don't make me book you. Just get away from it. Would it have made the game worse? Would he have got in trouble with his bosses? I don't think so. And he certainly shouldn't have done. You walk away, but... You know,
would have been more sensible refereeing. I tell you what, I had
noticed. He wound
him up. Yeah. Last week, West Ham played City, and then last week they played Chelsea. Previously, they played City. City played Wolves last week, then they played Liverpool this week. What happens is you get the two big teams in a row for some reason. It's really odd the way the fixture
is. Well, we all know the fixture computer randomised doesn't exist. Yeah. Well, it's all planned out, right? So we'll get appropriate games at the appropriate times for the biggest ratings. It's never been a fixture randomiser. And there's a reason that Liverpool always play Man City around about the end of April, and they play them normally around the end of August, start of September, because that's when the ratings are going to be highest. That's fair enough. But on this game, I should mention the penalty, because I felt like it's been kind of brushed over a little bit. It's just not a penalty. No. In no scenario is it a penalty. Now, I've been trawling the rules, and it says it's not a handball, it's not an offence if the ball touches a player's hand or arm directly from the player's own head or body. It hits his side.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced it does hit his arm. It might brush it, but it doesn't really hit it. It hits his side and comes away. That is an accidental brushing of the arm. Now, people will say, but hold on, it's all about unnatural body position. If the arm goes up, you've got to give it. But that's where you've got to be absolutely sure it does hit his arm, which I am not.
Yeah. It was never a penalty in a million years. And it was a rubbish excuse from Andre Mariner that they didn't have the footage. And Kilman was more of a penalty. And I tell you, it is a case for having a pro... there, because every single pro that looked at that, we don't know, we've not played the game, but they all went, that's a penalty, Kilman. He's lent into the ball, he's handled it, he's deliberately done that.
Yeah.
You know, when they didn't give it. So, you know, there is a case for somebody standing there and going, well, you've got that wrong, actually, definitely, deliberately.
Well, this is why you need the VAR. You've got to get the VAR, someone that sits in, hopefully, a throne, and they sit in the central position in the VAR room, which is like the table we're sitting on now, and they're all doing individual games. They go to the bloke in the middle, and they say, what do you think? What's your opinion? And we get consistency of opinion, which will be a great thing.
Yeah. Time for, just squeeze the other ones in. United, Norwich, you said you were watching that game.
Yeah.
And again, we had a sort of silly penalty in that one.
Yeah,
as well,
very even game. Well done to Norwich in terms of intensity and the way they played. They were very, very good. The issue is that Max Aarons is 21 and Cristiano Ronaldo is 36, and he manipulated the situation fantastically. As soon as he felt that arm on his shoulder, he went down. It was a penalty, no question. But really impressed by Norwich and the way they applied themselves in the game. Great from Kenny McLean. Great from Giannoulis at left back. I thought he was really, really good. And a couple of pot shots at goal, brilliantly saved by David De Gea, who again was Man United's best player. But the reason they won it is because Ronaldo's played 10 million games and Max Aarons is 21.
It's very interesting, though. Rangnick, I see, like Conte, any wins that he can get while he's getting his ideas across are vital. And Spurs were winning before they had disrupted.
You can see already, though, that I'm not sure Rashford is... Rashford's not a striker, so that isn't going to work out. The amazing thing is he's actually made Fred look a player. So he must be some sort of coaching genius.
Norwich, much more competitive under Dean Smith.
They, as you said, they're a lot more compact and harder to beat, aren't they? Just very quickly, 30 seconds on Brentford-Watford. It feels like about a million years ago. Ganandi was there. Another exciting
first half
ending
flat,
to that.
Second
moment.
Half, typical game at the community stadium. With
Watford
the crowd, will it?
Yeah, happen? They do. It's got a great atmosphere.
Yeah, I think Brentford were always going to win it on the strength of will the longer the game went on. The issue is for Watford, Truth de Kong plays at centre-half. And the longer he plays, you know, with all apologies to him, if he plays 30 games in the Premier League this season, they're going to get relegated. They've got to get better defenders. Offensively, good, like King, like Dennis. Defensively, not good enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy, you've got any bits for us you'd like to discuss?
Yes, I see that Brooklyn Beckham's fiance wants children straight away, apparently, which is about the last thing we need, the old grandchildren joining the family firm. Fortunately, I'll be dead by then.
Oh, okay. That's a nice
about 20 years' time. You know, you'll see that, do we really?
Things I noticed after the Fleetwood Town fans got a song for their winger, Paddy Lane. I mean, I'd like to think they have got a song for Paddy Lane, and whether they sing it to him or not. A good point was made by one of the listeners, didn't put his name on there. What about the fans who'd already booked flights to the original draw? Because we know how these things work. People take to the sort of airlines, don't they? And they think, I'm going to get in before the prices go mad. And they're kind of ready, sitting there poised to press go. Although, I mean, in light of what's going on in the world, that's their problem. So have you probably booked a flight to Spain and to realise that you don't need to. Quite handy if you've obviously booked the train to Lille.
Well, yeah, you'd be fine.
You'd be sitting there. Because, in case you wonder what we're talking about, they had to redo the Champions League draw, folks. And everything more or less changed. Some good, some bad for many clubs. But Chelsea run changed. They drew Lille twice. So it's meant to be, Andy. Normally, that'd be a lovely little trip, wouldn't it? Just on the train.
On the train, yeah, it could be. Very
pleasant journey. But I think at the moment, I think people are hunkering down a little bit currently.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy with me throughout the week this week. He's here for the full 5 days. And we'll be with you tomorrow, building up to hopefully plenty of Premier League football and much more. If you can join us from one, great. If not, podcasts will be available at around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.